Jingle bells, getting the house ready for Christmas. Hey, Rashi.
Yeah, man, laid an egg.
Rashi, you gonna go see Santa?
No.
Why?
Because he already knows what I want.
What do you want?
Well, I want a tank.
A tank?
Yeah.
You ask for that every year.
I know, I don't ever get it.
That's because you're like a foot and a half tall sock monkey, and I don't think you can handle a tank.
Who better?
What are you buying your brother for Christmas?
Nothing.
What are you buying mom for Christmas?
Tank.
You're unusually grumpy this Christmas.
Yeah, well, I'm a little surly because I've been waiting on a tank for about 6 years.
Merry Christmas, Rashi.
Merry Tankmas.
Hi, it's Paul Dini.
Hi, this is Misty Lee.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Oh, Merry Christmas. Oh, you're in the seasonal mood, Rashi?
Jingle, jingle, Dad.
Oh, jingle, jingle, Rashi.
Jingle, jingle, everybody. Feliz Navidad.
It's the season of hope that this is the year I'll finally get my tank.
See, that would be nice. And I want a sports car.
What do you want a sports car?
To go with my new stripper persona.
Super Rico, you're not still on that burlesque kick, are you?
Yeah, he totally is. He's trying to get a bitch getter.
We don't call it that.
Yeah, you do.
We call it a love machine.
Oh, puke. You're going to put a bunch of shag carpet. That's the 70s crap. It doesn't work on these modern day broads. You got to put a bunch of iPhones and electronics in them seats if you want to get them in there now.
There is only one accessory my new Camaro needs.
What?
Me.
Oh, gross.
All right, boys. All right, break it up. They're not really going to be happy with the bananas and candy canes we got them this year.
I think they're going to be just fine.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, hi, Ezra. Hi, Emily. Welcome. Welcome.
I like your hat, Ezra.
Yeah. We're all in the festive mood.
Emily's got one on, too. I'm the only one.
Santa hats for everybody.
Paul's got a fez.
Yeah, he has his Krampus fez.
I'm wearing my swanky Fezzorama Krampus fez with...
special thanks to Mr. Eddie Medrano.
Yes, who suggested it. Yes.
Yeah, he sent me an email a couple weeks ago and said, I'm not real sure if Paul would like one of these, but I got a weird feeling that he might.
Yeah, like, a little bit.
Yep, I think probably. Would. And I told him, and I was going to surprise him, but it was one of those things where it was like, I had to get it before Christmas, because otherwise, why, you know?
Yeah.
And so I said, I need you to come in here, because I want you to look at this and tell me if you want it or not.
Uh-huh.
And he came in, and I go, and now I need you to sit down. And he was like, why? I said, because this is pretty awesome. And I opened it, and he was like, ah!
There are two things that are really unwelcome. One is bed bugs, and the other one is seasonal wear, like, on Christmas or the day after, I think. You know, like a reindeer sweater.
I was like, where are you going with that? That's unpleasant.
Well, you have to give like a reindeer sweater a week or two before.
You really do.
So you can wear it to an ugly sweater party.
Otherwise, you got to hang on to it for a whole year and it becomes this cumbersome pain in the butt.
Emily and I were having this conversation about ornaments given as gifts.
Oh, that's like, a horrible gift.
It's useless.
Yes.
Yeah, you put it on for that afternoon and then take it down the next day.
Well, I mean, it's okay if the week before, you know, you take it home, you put it on the tree, and then that's nice.
We're going to have to take back all those ornaments we got as Renemi. Well, actually, if we gave them to you today, you could put them on your tree.
Yeah, you've got a week.
You've got a week.
Anything within up to 5 minutes of Christmas night is good. And then you can even extend it through the week if you want to be generous about it. See, I am one of those rare individuals who think that Christmas should begin Christmas Eve and end on New Year's. Like that whole week. I hate to see...
Oh, I thought you meant that whole year. Because like the New Year to Christmas Eve actually is your Christmas.
Well, yeah, actually it kind of is. But I always sort of like the idea that Christmas lingers a little bit. But, you know, our society, our merchandise mad society is so crazed that it's like Christmas afternoon. Nope, pack this crap up. You know, we'll see it again next Thanksgiving. It's like, why? Christmas just started. It started on Christmas Eve. You know, in the old days, it would go through
the
6th.
Spoken by the man who does not take down the decorations.
What?
What?
I do sometimes.
Sometimes you do.
Sometimes I do.
Usually you don't, though.
We have our tree up.
We do. And you helped with that.
And it is beautiful.
You put almost every single ornament. Nice. You know what's missing from the tree this year?
What is that?
Christmas chick.
We can't find Christmas chick.
What? Oh.
She's MIA.
I don't know. She might be off in Hawaii.
It's the saddest thing.
Is that why there's no jukebox this year?
Christmas chick took the music with her.
It is the saddest thing.
She's off with my Uncle Stephen in Hawaii.
I hate it.
Cheering him up.
Or samurai armor.
Or over at the Dunningtons over being having a drama Christmas with them.
Yes, she's singing in Broadway musicals and buying beachfront property.
Yes, that's good.
That's what the Dunningtons do.
Well, that's not bad.
It actually is. Yeah. It's a pretty good Christmas when you're with the Dunningtons.
It's pretty awesome, yeah.
It's beginning to look a lot like awesome.
Hi, Beth. Hi, Steve. Hi, Marina.
They do not listen to this, hi, but Sean. Hi, guys. You know who we did see, though, who's always on the podcast and never listens to it?
Who's that?
Scott Adsit.
Of course.
Did we tell you guys that?
No.
We were in New York earlier this month, and we went and we saw Scott and his girlfriend, Sandra.
Uh-huh.
And we had the best time in New York. We saw Paul's friend, Richard.
Yep. Richard Howell. Good old Richard Howell from my college days.
Yep. But we caused some trouble with Scott and Sandra. We went to Carnegie Deli, and we ate dinner. And then we left.
We walked
up the street, and we did. Yeah, my favorite Italian restaurant in New York is called Patsy's.
It's really good.
And we left Patsy's because they were kind of closing down at 9:30. They like shut down the kitchen, and they were just getting there because they had to ride a train all the way across town. It was crazy. Okay. And so we ate, and then we left, and we were like, "Well, what do you do in New York at 9 o'clock on a Monday night?" Yeah, I mean, like you'd think anything, right?
You can go to a club, but you never hear anybody. You wind up like with thudding house. It's like LA thudding house music, and you wind up going like, What? And then you scream yourself hoarse. You don't have a good time.
Right. And so what we did was we left dinner at Patsy's and we went and had second dinner at Carnegie Deli. It was like Taco Bell. It's like,
you're Samwise Gamgee. You're like having second breakfast.
Yeah.
Fourth meal at Taco Bell.
Yeah, that's right. Whatever. Eat like hobbits. That's what we did. Yeah.
Without going to Denny's. Was that a Hobbit reference? I didn't even get it.
Oh, yeah. They have pre-breakfast and they have breakfast and they have post-breakfast and they have pre-lunch. That's why they're so short and fat and chubby and tasty, you know.
Did you eat hobbits?
No, everybody else in Middle Earth does.
That's true, they do.
It's like, hobbits, huh, good. Open a dozen of them, I'll eat them like oysters. You know, it's like, why do you think Gollum wanted to eat them in the cave, you know? It's like...
Well, he was eating goblins, though.
Well, he was eating anything, you know.
Spoiler alert.
Wasn't Gollum a hobbit, though, too?
So he was half hobbit.
He was a hobbit-like creature. I mean, sort of. I mean...
Cannibalistic tendencies.
Well, it wasn't like he said to Bilbo, a brother hobbit. He just looked at him like he was lunch and something. So he's like same species, you know, sort of like the raccoon and the ring-tailed cat, I guess. They're almost the same thing, but slightly different.
So we had a lovely time in New York.
Yeah.
And we saw A Christmas Story, the musical.
That was fun.
Oh, nice.
And it was just like the movie.
Yeah.
And no, it was fine. It was cute. And then they had a whole musical chorus leg kick line with the leg lamps.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
That was pretty amazing.
That's a big Broadway trend, you know, like everybody's wondering like what... How do you really make it on Broadway? Well, the answer is you make a Christmas movie that's a big crowd pleaser, and then 2 or 3 years later, you make the musical version of it. And they just pop it right out there for the holidays. Elf, Christmas Story. It's like, come on, let's make
There's a bunch of Jingle Bell movies.
Ones too.
I'm trying to think of what other ones were there.
Well, you know, It's a Wonderful Life has been made into a musical, but it never really debuted on Broadway.
That's not the one I was thinking of, though. I'm trying to think of what else was playing. The Charlie Chaplin musical was playing, but I'm trying to think of specifically Christmas-wise.
The Grinch?
Yes, How the Grinch Stole Christmas is another musical that's over there. And then there's another one, but I can't remember what it is. They've got a bunch of Christmas movies that have been made into musicals, and it's like, wow.
That's why we got to get a Jingle Bell.
Die Hard, the musical.
Oh, no.
Waiting. You have to take your shoes off and walk through glass on the way to your seat.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Randy Rogel tells me Jingle Bell is perfect for a musical.
I mean, we should write it. Randy Rogel is the guy.
I know. It would be a perfect musical. There's a part for an ingenue. Everybody who's seen it saying, oh, it's Legally Blonde as a Christmas story.
Hey, don't give it away.
It kind of is, but you know, it's like, oh, okay. So, and they made Legally Blonde into a musical. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Jingle Bell coming next year.
By the way, that was very cute, Donovan, what you posted on our wall today.
All that, yeah.
Want to give you the thumbs up to you and your girl, Sarah.
Oh, yeah.
And tell you guys both hi. I haven't seen you at Mel's in a while. I haven't been looking for you because I know you haven't been there. And I also haven't been to Mel's since the last time we were there. But I miss you both. And thank you for your help that night. They came out and helped me do magic on the street one night.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, and helped me get the offer for that Travel Channel pilot that I may or may not have mentioned on here and didn't take, so I'm not doing a pilot for the Travel Channel right now. But super nice people, and they put a really cute picture of Jingle Bell up on our Facebook wall today, standing in their living room helping them decorate the tree.
Yeah.
Not okay, Jingle Bell. You're supposed to be home working.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
Really, you know, that was some quality Jingle Bell there,
too.
It was hysterical.
The
costume was dead on.
Yeah, it was really good. I thought
it was well crafted.
Yeah, he said to me, we've been wanting a Jingle Bell costume for years, and we don't have one. You know, and he said, oh, we should get you one. And he got me a pair of pink shorts like that. And I said, this is not the right color.
Well, actually, no, we do have them in green.
We have them in orange.
No, the well, the orange is for Polly.
We don't have
them
in green.
No, we do have them in green. They American Apparel does make them in green. They did a few years ago with the little bib front and everything. Mm-hmm. And
where are they?
I think they're in the garage. Or no, okay. No, they're in my closet. You know, I kept meaning to get a mannequin for it, but I could never figure out where a mannequin was. You know, I had to go to the mannequin store.
Well, if it's in the garage, we're never going to find it.
No, the pink shorts are in the garage.
But we don't need the pink shorts. We need the green shorts and a mannequin.
The green shorts and the mannequin, and we can get striped tights. Those are easy to get at the costume store.
I've got those in spades out there.
Or I can borrow a pair of your boots for the holidays.
Can
and
you?
Then, well...
of course
okay.
You can.
All right.
I'm just teasing you.
And then we got to get a mannequin and then put a little blonde wig on her and there we go.
Don't get that mannequin with that creepy screaming face. That
yeah, we
got to
get that one. I
oh,
love that
no,
one.
That one creeps me out.
Which ones are those?
The ones that just look like, ah, you know, like they're just screaming and they're like kind of anime-ish and cartoony.
They
oh, wait a minute. Are those ones that have kind of the spiky hair and
yeah,
everything
yeah,
like
yeah.
that? Yeah, yeah. That's kind of weird. Mike Carlin had a couple of like screaming baby mannequins. And he used to do Christmas cards and send those out. You know, it's like, Merry Christmas.
Where are they now?
From Mike and the boys. I guess they're over at his house.
Oh, we got to go get them.
I don't know. He only lives
Mike
like
lives
three
really
blocks
close.
Away.
Yeah, so. He lives really close to us now. We got to go over there. We have such a magical neighborhood. It's
yeah.
like, you know, we're here. And then a bunch of the Magic Castle folks live around here. Jim Steinmeier, one of the greatest creators of
yeah.
magic of our time, lives mm-hmm. a couple blocks
yeah.
away.
Ed Brubaker is a block over, I think.
Ed Brubaker, the artist, is a block over.
Writer.
Wow.
Excuse
yeah,
me, I'm
really?
Sorry, the writer.
Crime writer.
I know you live so
He's
close.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you
he
saw
came
him
over
here on
for
Halloween,
Halloween,
didn't you? He was here.
I didn't meet him at all.
He was here.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh.
I'm so mad at you right now.
He was wearing a false face. He was like, you know, the Batman villain false face who
oh,
always wore
wow.
that. Clear plastic false face, but he was actually like a killer or something. But he
yeah,
reminded
he
me of that man's
his wife
false
and another
face.
Friend.
Yeah.
And then Mike Carlin lives really close, and,
yeah.
and apparently his screaming babies do too. And I
yeah.
gotta get over there and get him.
Eric Goldberg,
yep.
great Disney animator, lives.
Yep.
You know,
Linda Blair used to live right across
yeah,
the street. Boy. It's peppered wow. with industry folks.
And Kevin Smith's just
around.
A hop, skip, and a
mm-hmm.
jump over the hill. And doing Kevin's podcast tomorrow, his
mm-hmm.
Christmas podcast. So
oh,
shout
nice.
Out. I've been doing the Fat Man on Batman podcast with Kevin over for his Sir station. And we've got to get him over here in the new year to do a podcast.
Yeah, we should. Or we could go do it over there. It might be easier on him.
Yeah, and then you can just beam
just
it
take
over
our
to
stuff
us.
Over there,
yeah.
and we can just record over there. But you know what you
what?
Should do is we should get the audio from those Fat Man on Batmans
uh-huh.
and our episode with Kevin Jennifer and put it up on Radio Rashi. So
That's
our
a
listeners.
Good idea as a special.
Maybe yeah.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
holidays or something.
Yeah, there's three of them.
Yeah.
There's two Fat Man on Batmans. Tomorrow will be his third episode.
Yeah.
Great.
So there's four episodes total, and we could just, with their permission, will you
yeah,
ask him
course.
Tomorrow, Paul?
I will. Oh, we'll see if we can
just
do
ask
it.
Him if it's okay, and then we'll put him up for you guys.
Do
if
some
Kevin
sort of link
yes.
or something, or
I'm sure
some
he'll.
Sort of...
I mean, he's really nice. I don't know what
yeah.
he's trying to do copyright wise and stuff, but he'll probably let you do that.
Yeah.
Super nice guy.
Yep.
Yep.
And then, what else have we done for? So we saw.
Oh, so much.
So we saw
Santasia.
Santasia. That was really awesome. That's a wild comedy show they do here in L.A. every year.
It's a sketch comedy
that.
Show, all Santa. It's all
13
Santa.
13 years. That was so good, I wish I had written that. And there were so many good holiday jokes in there. I was going like...
It was really good. Yeah. It was very. It's yeah. a very pop culture based. Have you heard of this, guys? It's local. It's a local phenomenon. It's six dudes, and they get together, and they work all year on it. It's quite a production.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a really intense community theater production. Like, all their acting is really good, and they're actually very funny. But what it was is... It's almost like Kids in the Hall do the holidays.
Yeah.
That's what I would put
nice.
It like. They each
yeah,
they do
good.
Character sketches, and then in between, each one of them will come out as themselves, like every couple sketches. And they had stop motion animation sketches too. I mean, like
mm-hmm.
they really went, and I'm sure a lot of this, they've been doing it 13 years, so they probably have some perennial favorites. Like once someone animates something like that for you, you keep it.
Yeah.
You play
yeah,
it again,
definitely.
You know? So they probably have a lot of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But they had unofficial commercials, animated shorts, and in between, and also sketches that everything had to do with the holidays. And in between, they had a big lounge chair and a fireplace set, and one of them would come out and tell a heartfelt Christmas story.
Yeah, that was really
oh,
good.
Wow.
It was really good. It was
where
like,
is this?
It's here in North Hollywood.
The
wow.
White Fire Theater is that
White Fire Theater.
White
yeah.
Fire. That's
uh-huh.
fantastic.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was really good.
Yeah, so it was kind of neat. I would love to treat you guys to that. If they have showtime, so I'll get you tickets before you leave tonight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're not expensive. It's just really cool. And
yeah,
you park...
I'm dying to see this now.
Yeah. It's really good. And it's my friend Carolyn Hennessy, who's an actor. She's on General Hospital in True Blood. But she was on her Facebook the other day, and she's like, ah, if you haven't seen it, she's hilarious. You know, like, when she loves something, she's so effusive and passionate. She's like, if you haven't seen it, you have to. Mm-hmm. And she was absolutely right. I mean, it's just really cute. And it was just, and they were so creative. They had one of the things they did, and you'll see this, and it's not really a spoiler, because there is no such thing. Like, I could tell you some funny parts, and you go, but I will not remember so much of it. It'll all be fresh.
Okay.
But they had a piece of set that wheeled over, and it was a sloped box on wheels. And they had three guys dressed as kids come out and put a sled on it. And they all got on it. They started riding the sled down. Two other guys came out with tree branches held out in front of them, far apart. And then they would run backward and bring them close together like they were going by trees. And it was just that things would happen, you know, like
one guy came out with a big stuffed abominable snowman from
and tried to attack them.
And tried
and they
to
were like, oh,
catch
you know,
the sleigh. It was really funny.
It's just cute. It was really cute, happy, frivolous fun. Yeah. And the opening of the show was just hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to tell them what it is. But there's a lot of pop culture, and we'll talk about it more when no one can see it, so that we don't spoiler it for Sunday.
We'll
talk
about it in the off season.
Yeah.
Or next October, as in advance of it, I'm sure they're going to start up next November.
Yeah, we'll have to get our tickets for next year. Yeah. But they, you know, they talked about how they do this once a year. They rent the theater. They four wall it, which is in industry terms for renting it yourself instead of having someone rent it for you or be part of a theater company. For those of you who don't know at home. When you're booked in a theater, there's several ways that you can get booked in a theater, but one of the ways is by being part of a theater's programming. And that is where the theater has a person who's in charge of their directing. And their artistic director says, you know what we should bring in and what our patrons might really like, or something that would educate them or something that would fall along what we're trying to accomplish for the community, because they usually are. They'll purchase acts or they'll purchase shows. That's one way. Another way of several, I'm not going to give you a lecture, but another way is four-walling, where you purchase a theater yourself and you do the shows and you keep the revenue or the income, but you also run the ticket sales, or you can pay them to run the ticket sales. And if the way to make money when you're doing that is to sell merchandise, which they did not. So, but the thing about Santasia, and I can't imagine, they were packed, so they probably do make their money back for sure. And they have lots of show dates, and it's a pretty intense set. You'll see when you go. I mean, they've got like a fake house and snow on the floor, and they have a snow machine outside and free cider and cookies on the inside. It's just fun. But they really thought of everything, and they may make their money back, but they're not getting rich off this. They really just do it for
love.
They
do it out of love, yeah.
And it's very clear that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And so it's fun, and they four-wall the place, and thank God they do. 13 years in a row, and I don't know if it's the same theater every time. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they do, but next year we'll definitely go see it. Mm-hmm. And they clearly have a lot of perennials, you know, like perennial guests who come year after year after year.
Yeah, you want to see them.
Yeah.
I wrote four-walling into a issue of Zatanna.
Stinker.
Yeah.
Thank God you married me. You would have had no material at all.
I know. But, you know, it's why Zachary, Zatanna's cousin, hates her so much, is because she actually gets booked into theaters. He has to four-wall in Vegas.
Well, everybody in Vegas is four-walling for the most part now.
Yeah. You have to put up the front money and then hope that the people come. And so,
or you get an investor to four-wall for you.
Yeah.
You know, which is probably what she would do. She's probably got rich patrons or angels who love her show, and they take her show, and a manager who's working to get those angels on board. She's probably got a machine behind her.
Well, I always envisioned her as like David Copperfield as far as that went.
Sure.
Like, she has a machine. We've seen her agent and her assistants, but she probably does have this team behind her, because in that realm of the DC universe, she's treated like a celebrity. So she doesn't really have to mind for that. That was one of the things it was always sort of understood between me and the editors, that Zatanna was not Bruce Wayne rich, but she wasn't.
She did just fine, and that
actually came up in that story. Zachary is saying, you make how much a year, and she doesn't want to say. And
well, and then Black Canary walks with.
Oh, well, that's in the graphic novel. We can't give that away.
Never mind. You'll see.
That does happen in the Black Canary Zatanna graphic novel, and that actually is kind of a bone of contention between the two of them. It's like, you make how much money?
That's not what is that what she says? It doesn't matter. Don't tell
him. It kind of...
Buy the book. It's cute. It's really good.
Nobody ever really thinks about how much superheroes make. You know, everybody... And I know that must piss off Clark Kent, you know? Clark Kent's got to be...
It's like a poor-ass farm boy.
Well, he's got to be pulling down what? Maybe 45K a year working for the Daily Planet in print media?
Yeah, if he's lucky.
If he's lucky. I mean, and then Bruce Wayne comes in.
Yeah, him and Peter Parker, I would say, are the two poorest.
Yeah. Peter lives at home with his poor old aunt. Mm-hmm. Or his sprightly young aunt who now
she's not really sprightly.
She's on a motorcycle with Phil Coulson. She's living it up.
You guys probably don't know this. Netflix Watch Now has the entire first season of Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh really?
Yeah.
So
nice.
If you haven't seen it yet, go to Netflix Watch Now and watch yourself some Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, excellent. Do it, especially the Aunt May episodes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got to pull some of that audio for a demo reel. Yeah. I guess I should.
Aunt May comes in. It's like, oh, I just had dinner out with Phil Coulson. What are you doing, Peter? Oh, I'm eating a cracker. I don't have any money. You don't give me any money. Oh, yeah, that's too bad. Oh, hi, Phil.
Oh, Phil.
And off she goes.
poor guy.
Poor Peter Parker. Who else?
How excited are you for Hulks right now?
Oh, real, real excited.
Yeah.
That's getting close, isn't it?
You know, I tossed out kind of a semi-date for next year, and I shouldn't have done that. So all I can say is next year sometime.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't toss it out. Marvel tossed it out.
No, somebody asked me recently on Kevin's podcast. He said, when's that coming out? And I kind of named an arbitrary date that I had heard before, and I realized, like, that has not been confirmed. But all I can say is between now and next Christmas, you will have seen Hulk and the Agents of Smash.
I think they were talking – you know what? I'm not even going to talk about it because I don't know.
It's
not my show.
Well, I hope it's earlier than later because I can't wait.
It's funny.
The biggest, meanest, messiest, grossest threats are the ones that the Hulk takes on.
Nice.
He doesn't take on, like, the Shocker and the, oh, I don't know, the
Trapster
and the Spidey level villains. He's after the big boys.
Big nasties.
The big nasties. The nastier, the better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have so much fun in the recordings. We sit there and we laugh and laugh and laugh.
Yeah.
Just good stuff.
Well, you also have a hell of a cast, too.
Yeah.
Fred Tatasciore.
Fred and Eliza and Seth
Green.
They've
been announced, haven't they? I think they have.
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
I'll double check.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. But anyway, it's
if you're hearing this, they've been announced.
Yeah. Well, get a call. Paul, it's Jeff Loeb.
Could you please not?
Listen.
He hears knuckles cracking over the phone.
Yeah.
Some guys are coming over.
It's like Damon Lindelof and the polar bear implant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If I told secrets on Lost, a polar bear would show up and eat me.
That's how you're marked.
Yeah. You had to get like a chip planted under your lip.
Yeah, a microchip under your ear.
Yeah. They were really strict over there. Anyway.
All my little doggies got adopted. Violet's been adopted.
Really? All your rescue pups, huh?
And we went and did two home checks this weekend. It looked like Bert's going to go. I'm so sad.
Bert.
He got rescued. I want Bert.
Bert's
every
a gentleman.
Every once in a while, one comes through and I'm like, that one's coming home with me. And I always, every single time I call Rachel, I go, I lost the dog. She goes, you did not. I go, I can't find it anywhere. She goes, I think it's on its way to your house. And I go, oh, I think it's going to have to live there if I find it. And she's like, I'm going to whoop you. Get it to the vet. And she knows I'm kidding, but. Uh-huh. And Bert, I didn't even run. I just want him.
Yeah.
It's like buckwheat. I don't expect it. I just want him. Yeah,
we don't expect heat. We just want
But he was he was supposed to be adopted last Saturday, and they gave him a bath, and they put him in a t-shirt. They trimmed his toenails, and his adopter never showed up.
What?
They stood him up. Poor Bert.
They stood up Bert?
They stood up Bert. Ungrateful fools.
Mikey still has an Ernie.
No, he doesn't have an Ernie at all.
Is somebody else going to take him?
Well, the home check I did the other day with those really nice people in the apartment building wanted him. They wanted him or Astro, and Astro only has one eye, so she's probably going to want to give him Astro.
I don't know.
Because Bert's so cute. Astro's very cute, too, but the one-eyed ones, sometimes people don't want the Island of Misfit toys. Mm-hmm. You know, but they said, oh, we like Astro because we're our other little Oliver. They had a dog named Oliver and a little Boston Terrier. Ridiculous looking. I can send you a picture of Oliver. You can show them Oliver.
Okay.
But anyway, so Bert was ready to go and his adopter no showed. Saddest thing ever. And I said, that's because he's waiting for me.
Is that, was that an adopter that I met with you?
No. wasn't one of ours.
Did you accidentally give them the wrong address?
What? Oh, I would never. Yes, I did. Of course I would always. I mean, never do that because I want Bert to come live here. She won't give me any more dogs. We would have 20.
Because they'll kick us out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, she actually said that to me because I said, oh, man, there was one. Violet?
Because they're worried that you're getting too attached to all these dogs?
No, it's because we're soft-hearted. She actually said to me, she said, look, I know Caesar worked with you guys, but you treat dogs like babies. And she said, those two are bonded. And she said, even if you could add a third one to the mix, the dynamic is so different. You have to be the leader of that pack every second if there's going to be more than two. And she said, you can get your control back. If one of those three becomes the pack leader and you lose it, you're done without a fight. And she said, I don't want to put you through that, and I don't want to personally deal with you going through that. Mm-hmm. And she said, I just don't think you guys are strong enough. Like, you don't treat dogs like dogs. You treat dogs like babies. And she said to me, point blank, you cannot have another one. You may not. And I was like, who was the one? Little Otis. Little Otis I liked a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
But there was another, Jelly Bean.
Yeah.
Jelly Bean was the one where I was like, oh, man. Mm-hmm. And I name them. I named Violet, I named Jelly Bean. When you pick them up from the shelter, actually I named Jelly Bean after the dog that died up the street.
Oh, yeah.
But when you pick them up from the shelter, they let you name them.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering why most of these were like named after characters or animated things. Or
yeah, Bert I didn't name. Oh, okay. I didn't pick up Bert. I've never met Bert, I just want him.
But Astro...
Astro, I didn't name Astro either.
No, we haven't named any of these. We took Mugsy with their name.
Somebody's got a sense of humor over there because we got Worf as Worf and didn't change his name.
Mugsy.
And Deuce, somebody named Mugs. These two Deuce and Mugsy. So
Mugs,
we didn't
here.
Name them.
Yeah, they just came with the name Deuce and Mugsy. We could have called them anything.
We could have called them, you know,
Arfie and Wags.
We should have called them Arfie and
Wags. We do call them Arfie and Wags. Arfie and Wags.
We do call them Arfie and Wags.
Come here, Arfie.
Awesome.
We also call them great Marie name. And Jean.
Yeah. Deuce Jean Marie and Marie. Mugsy Jean. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We spend too much time with these. How did Hobart get his name?
What?
I think Rashi named Hobart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's named after a place in Australia where he eats a lot.
Yeah. I guess that's from his hometown.
What else did we do? I did a pilot for Charlie Adler.
Oh, yeah.
That was epic. On the comic, the web comic Least I Could Do. Oh,
no, I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, okay. Well, you better cut that piece out.
Yeah.
I know that one. Do that. For it's a really popular webcomic, and they did a Kickstarter, and they've got distribution, so we're going to 13. Mm-hmm. And I booked this pilot, and they posted all this already, so it doesn't really matter. But Yuri Lowenthal, Ben 10, is on there, and his wife, Tara Platt, is the lead female.
Nice.
And Steve Bloom.
Oh.
Was on there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a like a whole lineup, and I play the lead character's sister, and she's just always like, Rain, you know, which is very much like my regular life, so it was very easy. And they tweeted all this, so I'm not telling you anything that's off my non-disclosure agreement.
Oh, okay.
You know, like it's totally, like they announced the whole cast. They were really excited about it, and they've got a good one. It was really fun up in there. And Charlie Adler directed it. It's ridiculous. It was a ridiculous day. I mean, for those of you who don't know who Charlie is, first of all, he's hysterical. Mm-hmm. And second of all, he was Buster Bunny.
Yeah, there you go.
On Animaniacs, he was Cow and Chicken and most of the characters on that show.
He was Cow and Chicken and the Devil on that show,
you
too.
You Are Baboon. And he was really good.
Yeah, he was fun.
Yeah.
He's just a really great guy. He's really nice. He's got a good heart. He's got a big mouth. And I love him.
Mm.
And I love working with him. So, yeah, he's a good boy. But I got to meet Ryan Somer, who created the strip.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just the nicest guy. He came all the way down from Canada to do it here. Wanted to do it with union actors in LA. And, like, you know, we booked the same studio that we do Spider-Man in. Mm-hmm. It was really fun. You know, we all got paid super well. It was just really a great time. And it was done off auditions. I don't know those guys. You know, I mean, sometimes it's like, oh, well, how did you book that? Is it because of Paul or is it... I turned in an audition and he was like, her. So, what an honor.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Especially for a pilot.
Yeah.
You know, because you just, like, you're creating that character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What else did you do? You've done some really cool stuff.
What, this month?
Mm-hmm. We went to the Natural History Museum.
Yep. Looked around at the new Mammal Hall. Well, I mean, it's the old Mammal Hall. They just dusted everything off and painted it. And
we got to see your old friend Santa Claus.
We went to Macy's and saw Santa. We acted up, and then
Then we got a call back.
Then we called Santa, called back and said, "Come back over here. I had some fun with you guys." So we went back the next
That's
day.
Not quite how it went.
But
kinda.
Yeah.
Well, what happened was we went to Macy's and had our picture taken with Santa, and I posted it. And we took terrifying, crying pictures of Santa because Rachel from Boston Buddies keeps taking her kids to see Santa to sort of desensitize them because they're 1 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And the little boy is just, he just walks in, sees Santa, and throws himself on the floor. Like, he will not get any, and he just lays face down on the floor, and they have to drag him by his heels on his face all the way over to see Santa, and he just lays there. Like, he will not get up. He's like a sack of sugar.
Mm.
And Rachel's not doing this to be cruel. She's doing this to teach him.
Are they scared or...
No, they're just misbehaving and scared.
Okay, yeah.
They're scared. I mean, you're taken into the store. It's sensory overload. I mean, I think adults can deal with this.
Like children seeing their heroes.
Well, it's standing around.
If they know
it's uncomfortable.
Who
he is. Otherwise,
you're wearing... It's a big, scary stranger.
You know, as a kid, you're going there, you're wearing a sweater. You're dressed up. You don't want to be there. You're being dragged around by your mom. People are. Remember what it's like when you're a kid. Your view of the world is like people's midsection and their knees, and
that's
you're being
nice
bashed
way of putting it.
Around, and everybody's level. Bigger than you, and then they take you. I don't want to go anywhere. I'm hot and I'm sticky, and I don't want to do. Where are we going now?
Mm.
We're going to go to Santa Land. Isn't that fun? Look at all the animals, like rocking back and forth, like the Living Dead.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
And it's like, no, it doesn't look good. It's not fun.
I'm bored.
What's fun is staying home and playing Arkham City. I want to do that. And then it's like, okay, well, I'm standing in this long line. Oh, it's terrible. And there are these people with jingle bells on, pretending to be. It's awful.
So it's horrible, yes.
And then you get in there, and then you there's Santa. It's like, it's sensory overload for kids. It's a good idea in theory, but you got to be prepared for it. You know, when I was a kid, I had no problem because, you know, the only way you got things in my world was to talk to a big bearded guy because I'm Italian, and, you know, you got to...
That's your family is yeah. big bearded
what
guy.
Do you want? Come over
what
here.
What do you want?
So going to talk to Santa is like talking to the... Capo de capo, you know, you go in and you ask them for something, and you know, maybe you get it, maybe you don't.
Well, what happened with us was we went and saw Santa the first day. Well, first of all, Rachel's kids are screaming in all these pictures, so we mm-hmm. went and took a screaming picture with Santa. We're sitting on his lap, and we're both crying in the first one. So I post it, thinking I'm being cute, and I get a note immediately from a guy I went to high school with. It says, "Well, you were at Macy's yesterday. Get back over here. I'm a Santa too."
No way.
Way. So some dude that I went to high school with, and I don't want to say his name. I want to, but I don't because it's like...
At the same mall he's a Santa?
It's Macy's in New York.
New York. Like
he's another Santa associate.
I can't tell you more without... I'll tell you after we get how it works. Yeah. But he also is a Santa.
You mean Santa's helper, of course.
Yes,
Santa's
of
helper.
Course.
He's a Santa's helper.
Of
yeah.
course.
Yeah. Because there's only one Santa.
Did you see the little card I posted on my Facebook page? Some little kid drew a Santa Claus, and it said, "S is for Santa, who I don't believe in." and then they had a picture of Santa, and it said, "Ho, ho, horrible."
Oh. Cole.
Yeah. I'll give it to you. You can post it. I'll give you all these things. You can post them. But, yeah, so we got this note from this guy we know who knows Santa personally and requested our... presence again at Macy's, so we went back to see Santa. So that was crazy.
That was fun.
Yeah.
And there was no line either time we went.
No. You know? And that was the craziest thing about the whole thing. We zipped right in and zipped right out. Wow. That don't happen.
Like Macy's. 2 years ago we went and the line
was... an hour and a half wait and they shut it down.
Oh, it was dreadful. It was absolutely... Well, that was Saturday morning we went.
It was before we were getting on the plane.
Yeah.
Try to sneak it in and they were like, nah.
No. You got to be in for the long haul. You got to spend a whole day.
Did you see our Boston Santa. Terrier Nativity?
What? Oh,
yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Every single character is a Boston Terrier.
Except the animals.
Camel? Okay.
No, the camels aren't. There's a camel and bunch of camels and a sheep and a cow. Those are all
the
regular.
Are, yeah,
all the people are Boston Terriers, which doesn't really make any sense, but it's cute.
Yeah.
Someone made that for us.
Jesus Boston Terrier? I can't tell.
It is a tiny Boston Terrier.
Oh, awesome. Mm.
Yeah, he's the pup.
What are you guys doing for the holidays? By the way, we need to thank John and Laura for these delicious cookies that we've been sitting here eating the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
They're pink chocolate chip, and I'm not sure if it's cherry or strawberry.
I think
what's
they're cherry.
They taste very cherry.
Yeah, they're very good. So thank you so much. He sent me a note, and he said, I just wondered if the box came, and I'm going to tell him tomorrow, just listen to the podcast and find out. So they put, they sent us a little, these cookies that we're eating, and we've been really enjoying them. They're really good, guys. Thank you.
Yeah.
Came in a box full of goodies. It was just very, very sweet of them to think of us. And so we sent them one too. I sent them some homemade soaps and unicorns and snowflakes, and Paul put a couple books in there.
They won't think those are candies, will they?
Well, if they eat them. Yeah, oh, that reminds me of yesterday. I saw online that they sell this caffeinated soap.
I saw your post on that, too.
Oh, of course you saw it. I'm pointing at Emily. And this guy, people, it unlocked a world to me of sarcastic Amazon reviews. I did not know people did this. It is a phenomenon that is phenomenal.
Emily said she sent you the audio cables. Those are my favorite. I have those on my wish list just so I can always review them.
My favorite note in the audio cables, Emily sent me an Amazon listing where these, I mean, it's
monster
like
monster cables.
They're like $4,000. Yeah. And there's no reason for that. Like, for those of you who know anything about audio at all, there is no reason to ever spend $100, more than $100 on a very good set of cables. Like, there's no reason. And that's way high end. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my favorite, but someone reviewed them on Amazon and said, as a result of using these cables, now I can fly. Yes, you can. Of course you can. And they said that they would have, another person said they would have liked to have been warned, because as soon as he used the cables, his cats were able to talk.
Yeah.
And one of them was gay and the other one wants to kill him, and he loves them the same, but he would have rather not known. And I mean, it was the ridiculous.
A warning from the future was my favorite. We speak with our hands.
Yes. Yes, we live underground. Yeah, so I mean, but it just unlocked, and the cables are just one of them. But someone reviewed this caffeinated soap, and the guy said, there was one star, and it said, this product sucks. And it said, I ate this soap and it felt the same as when I ate another kind of soap. Sad. It didn't feel any different than when I ate a different bar of soap.
Maybe
sad.
You should stop eating soap.
It was hysterical. I was just, and so it just unlocked. And when you start reading products with sarcastic reviews, you may also be interested in products come up. I don't know if you know this, but all afternoon, I got nothing done. And I could not believe the stuff that I was, first of all, the products. And second of all, the reviews. And then my buddy Fred sent me a link to a Cracked article where they listed like the top 10 ones ever reviewed. And I found some doozies. I mean, yesterday that weren't even in the Cracked article. I found a testicle exam kit.
Oh, yeah.
That they come, it's like a pair of fake testicles that a doctor can hand you, and you, like, for a male, like a self-exam kit. Like, this is what you're looking for when you do a self-exam. Why would they sell them to just anyone on Amazon? No one needs this. And so all the reviews start like testes, 1, 2, 3. And this guy is like, best wedding gift ever. He's like, I bought these for my wife so she can keep them in her purse. And he says, she usually keeps mine in a mason jar and carries it around with her for safety, she says. So now I get to have these at home. You know, and another woman said, I'm going to wear these and go through the TSA line. They're going to be so surprised. I mean, it was just these people. It's just so outrageously ridiculous. He had some macaroni and cheese today. It's not so.
He has to go out, I think. Yeah, he was scratching at the door.
Oh, I'll let him out. Yeah. I can stop talking. You can talk about something that's going to interest people, because I'm not talking.
Well, we can talk about testes. I mean, you know.
I got links and links and links on Amazon. I was rolling. There's this shirt with wolves all over it, and people are like, this gives you sexual superpowers, and it's like, are you kidding? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Is the three wolves in the moon one?
Yes, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Oh, is that wolf pack thing?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. And I mean, just like I said, when you start looking at the products that you may also be interested in, it looks like this, there's like $1,000 jug of milk.
And
it's just ridiculous. The products are ridiculous, and the reviews are just awesome. So anyway, come on, Lexi, I'll let you out.
I think I wasted my afternoon after that.
A testy examination kit. I don't know. As a kid who had several hernia and varicocele operations, it's old news to me. It's sort of amateur hour. I got a good look while the doctor was rattling around downstairs with the real stuff, and it's like, oh, really? Okay, all right. Maybe a little too much of my history that you need to know there, but I don't know. So
you got any big plans for Christmas?
Nah, just the usual. Seeing friends, family, stuff like that. Try and cram as much stuff as we can in between Thanksgiving and this week, and it always comes down to work and getting in assignments. And
oh yeah,
everybody I know is getting the last few assignments in, and then they're all saying, you know, December 26th, I hit the unemployment line, and it's like, because all the work is done, and now I got to look around for another job, and so it's like trying to steer friends of mine who are in that predicament into more lucrative waters. I've got a year of fun lined up ahead of me, so
that's good.
Yeah. So, and I don't mean that sarcastically. I'm lucky. I got some really cool stuff coming.
2013 sounds like there's a lot of stuff coming out from you that you've worked on even previously.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of stuff that's been in the works. Hopefully, the Zatanna Black Canary will be out this coming year. I'm hoping
it's very good. You'll love it. Bye.
All the artwork is in, and it's terrific. I get turned into a fish at one point. That's a high point of the book.
Well, that's every Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's Joe Quinones did a great job of the art in the artwork. It's just, yeah. It really sings. And I looked at some cover art for it the other day, going over some cover illustrations and some of his shots of the girls at various points in their lives, like he did for like the model shots of Z and Black Canary. This story goes way back to their
their
first meeting, and that's long before they were ever involved in the Justice League or anything like that. It's cool stuff. It's very old school DC, and I don't think that's a bad thing to come up every now and then to remind people of the tone of the books, like over the last 40-50 years or so, like that. It's very.
Do you want me to? But this
very
is
80s, 90s in feel, which I think is kind of fun.
What? It's really fun. It's really good.
Yeah.
Do you want me to check and see if there are any questions?
Oh, yeah.
I saw Ezra was looking at that. Do you have Paul's account up there?
Yeah.
Maybe we should go to some holiday questions from the fans. So
hold on. We need theme music.
Theme music, theme music, theme music, questions, theme music. Everybody join my cult.
You have a cult?
No.
What is this?
What? Let's see if there's any questions.
Does that account for when we
questions!
See all these brain-controlled people I see coming in and
is
out of here?
Is there any questions?
Yeah, let's get to the questions.
Yeah.
Some of the people from the cult left some questions.
Oh, okay.
First one on here is, why have we been denied a proper Pogo animated special with rousing rendition of Deck Assault with Boston Charlie?
Who asked that?
That was Zach the Halls by Zach Hules.
Zach the Halls has...
He needs to ask Mark Evanier and Carolyn Kelly.
Yeah, because they have... well, actually, no. We did a Pogo special.
Yeah,
We actually animated it ourselves, and we were going to run it this year. And then, unfortunately, we couldn't get a time slot. But
And flip books just don't go up in Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, but we'll run it for you now. So so here we go. Here's our animated Pogo special that we did in secret all year long, and now we're just debuting. So
why by jing that Pogo Possum is you's gonna celebrate some Christmas right now?
Okay, that's where you say, why yes, Albert Alligator, we're gonna do our Christmas special.
No, what does the other guy say?
Well, by jing and corn pone and baldar dash, let us sing some song right now.
And then what does Pogo say?
Pogo says, well, yeah, we're going to do it. And then you're Miss Mamselle Hepzibah, so you say in a French accent.
Okay, show me how to do it. What does she say?
Oh, Monsieur Pogo, we do the Joyeux Noël and the Christmas.
And then we got to have Howlin' Owl coming in saying, well, I've got me an idea to hang up some lights. What do you say, Churchy LaFam?
Well, I'm going to hang up some lights, Owl. I'm just going to plug them in right here. Slow! Oh, I done fell in the swamp and shucked my purlieu. Come on, boys, let's all sing.
Wait a minute, you're not doing any voices.
I told you I wasn't going to do it.
I'm halfway through the special.
Da-da-da! Ta-da!
Okay, well, I mean...
probably why it didn't air.
That's probably why it didn't air, yeah. Yeah.
This is the episode in which Misty is a total turd.
Okay, cut to across town, Mark Evanier and Carolyn Kelly. All right, let's call your lawyer, Carolyn. Get this yanked off the air right now. And no, I love Pogo. It's like,
so apparent. You love it so much.
I love it so much. In fact, actually, while we were doing our special, I printed out this.
Did you ever buy that strip? There was a strip that Paul wanted, and it was up for sale. And he was kind of footing around buying it. And I kept saying, buy it, buy it, buy it if you want it.
I'll probably get it. I'll probably get it after Christmas.
Better get it. I'm afraid it's going to go away. Okay, it's not like you can get it twice.
No, that's true.
One of a kind.
But Kelly always used to do these great Christmas strips right around the holiday. You know, sometimes he would do full weeks of continuity leading up to the holiday. Sometimes he'd do just like one big Sunday strip. I think his best one was this one from 71, which would have been like his second to last Christmas, I guess. And,
In
this one, he put in everybody in the swamp is singing the Christmas song. And he's got Pogo, Churchy, the dog, Hound Dog, Mamzelle, Miss Beaver, Albert, Barnstable Bear, Seminole
Sam. What are they saying in that top middle panel there?
Oh.
They're all kind of collected in the swamp, and then they've got...
Well, what happened is, like, Kelly used to draw... You know, this is missing, like... I would love to find the original of this, because it's probably missing three panels.
Oh.
Walt would do, like, a nine-panel strip for Sundays. And as even in the 70s, they were chopping down the size of the comic book page.
Oh.
So usually it would be like a big panel, you know, it would have those gorgeous drawings of trees in it, a swamp background, you know, with mm-hmm. Pogo. And then there'd be like a couple of drop-off, there'd be like one drop-off panel and then another panel that would set up what the strip is about. So this one, he just kind of cuts right to the chase. So it's, they're singing the Christmas carol and a little frog is making the sound of a drum and he's going, bum, 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 bum. And the mouse says, there's entirely too many bums in this carol. And the frog says, I know, who invited him? And then so, I mean, he always used to have Pogo and the kind of the gentler swamp critters singing the song. But this one, he just puts in everybody. Deacon and the Mole, who Mole's pretty sinister character. And Wile E. Cat and Sarcophagus Macabre. And even the political caricatures he was drawing at the time, like... the Spiro Agnew hyena and John Mitchell as the little eagle and that's J. Edgar Hoover as a bulldog. Hmm. We're all even the kind of more sinister characters made it into this one. It's a big parade with them all through the swamp, and they're all singing the Christmas song. So here we go, deck us all with Boston Charlie, walla walla wash. What's Boston Charlie? I don't know what Boston Charlie is or who Boston Charlie is. Although if one of these guys were named Charlie, he would be Boston Charlie.
Fair enough. Sorry for interrupting.
So let's get another Boston Terrier named Charlie, then he can be Boston Charlie.
Let's get two. Let's get Bert and Charlie.
Bert and Charlie. Deck us all with Bert and Charlie.
Yep, right.
Oh, there you go.
Right? See, I'm on it.
Walla Walla Wash and Kalamazoo. Norris freezing on the trolley. Swaller dollar cauliflower alligaroo.
That's beautiful.
Don't we know our Carrick Barrel? Lilla boy, Louisville Lou.
What?
Trolley Solly, don't love Carol. Woola Woola Pexicool, how about you? Tickle Salty, Boss Anchovy. It goes on and on.
Those aren't the actual words, you just make it up.
No, Tickle Salty, Boss Anchovy was one of the various. And then there's Bark Us All, Bow Wows of Folly. I mean, this goes on for pages and pages every year.
I had to write a Nestle Quick today.
What?
What?
You write another... I think the longer Kelly was at the table and the more he maybe imbibed over lunch, the funnier the lyrics got. So it's good. So there's the Pogo Christmas special.
That was a long answer. What's another question?
Let's see, next one.
Bajing. Yeah.
Derek Armio.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Derek.
To everyone, Christmas gift you most wanted and never got.
Hmm.
Mm. Most wanted and never got.
Oh, actually, I don't remember ever really wanting anything and not getting it. Not because I was spoiled, but because I just kind of knew. You know what I mean? Like, I remember Christmas gifts that I got that I really wanted. Like, there was a little ballerina doll and the magical musical thing. And I had it was this long stick with mm-hmm. colors and numbers on it. And each color and number matched up. And so if you wanted to play something, you just had to push. It was like a touch keyboard, you know, sort of. But it wasn't a keyboard. It was just colored buttons, essentially. And I wanted that thing so bad, and I got it. And then I lost it, and who knows what. But my first year here in California, Paul got me one for Christmas.
Mint in the box.
Mint in the box.
Very cool. Yeah.
So that was pretty great, yeah. So I remember that. I remember the ballerina because I went to church with my family, and I came home, and my grandmother's Boston Terriers had eaten her crown off, and she didn't work anymore.
Was this a ballerina that danced?
Mm-hmm. Well, there were two. It was Ballerina Barbie, and he chewed off her crown and her whole head.
Oh, boy.
And then there was another... Hispanic-looking ballerina. I don't remember her name, but what she was is you would push on her pink crown and you put her leg out. And when you pushed on her pink crown, she would spin on her other leg.
There was something when I was a kid, maybe it was a variation of that called Dancerina.
That's probably what it was.
Dancerina.
Look up Dancerina and I'll tell you if that
And I remember the song to it was based on the old Nat King Cole song, Ballerina Dance, Ballerina Dance. And it was Dance, Dancerina Dance. And she had like a little crown or something.
That's her.
That you pushed her crown and she did the
you
little dance.
You pushed her dance and she spun around in a circle. Except yeah. I had the brunette one because it looked like me. Little girls want dolls that look like them.
Yeah.
Because they're all perfect, you know, but that was, yeah, and the dog had eaten her crown off, so she didn't work anymore, and Ballerina Barbie's entire head, which explains why I never went into the ballet. I had a very disheartening experience.
Dogs chewing your head off?
Yeah.
Yes, I
Man.
Was, from three on, it was
That's
like...
That's sad. I'm
never.
Sorry.
No, it wasn't sad. It was, actually, it probably was. I'm not sad about it now. I think it's funny because it was a Boston.
Yeah.
My grandmother had Boston Terriers. I didn't know. Someone put a Facebook picture of me at 2.5. Up on my Facebook page, and I said, "That's a Boston Terrier," and they said, "Yeah, Grandma always had him." And I said, "I didn't remember any of that."
Subconsciously.
Well, for my
And I mean, here I sit with two of them, and she always had two. She had Boots and Baber when I was a little girl.
When I was 11, my dad gave me a stuffed Baloo the bear from the Jungle Book by Steiff in Germany, and I kept that thing throughout my entire life.
Yeah,
I still have it. And then a rat got into my storage bin and destroyed all my Steiff characters. And Baloo got chewed up a bit. He lost some claws and some, and he can be repaired, but I have to send him off to the doll repair place.
I bet Steiff could help you with that.
There is a place that does just repair Steiff, and I think they're still in business, so I have to call them.
We should find out.
Because I saw some things that were eating away down to the framework, and they rebuilt them perfectly. So.
Yeah.
So Baloo needs to go to the animal hospital.
Was there ever anything you wanted that you did not get?
Yeah, there was. Boy, let me think. There were a couple of things. I remember, like, and I'm really specific about this. In the Montgomery Ward catalog, 1964, I believe, 64, 65, long before any of you guys were born.
Kidding.
No. They had the very first Jim Henson Muppet merchandise, and they had come out with puppets.
Excuse me. They were
more like dolls, but I think you could manipulate them like puppets, of Kermit. And this was like pre-frog Kermit. In the early days, he was kind of froggish, but he could go...
More of a lizard.
Well, he was just Kermit,
kind of a
blob, and he had a basically reptilian look. And I think he was wearing like a black sweater or something, and they had Rolf, because Rolf was on the Jimmy Dean show.
Yeah.
And so it was... And it came in this great stylized, bless you, 60s box, you know, Muppets with 60s lettering on it. And they had these two things, I think they were called Snarfs or Grackles, but I don't even think they made those. They were like more like long-necked monster puppets. And then I know they had Kermit and Rolf, and I circled those, and I really want these. And I never got them because it's like, you know.
Do you have them now?
No. And they're impossible to find. You cannot find them. You can't find them anywhere for love nor money. And then there was another thing that I never actually saw in the store, but it came in the Sears Wish Book. And occasionally they would just offer, you know, it wasn't a part of a toy line or anything. It was just like Old West animal set. It was like a set of animals from the Old West. And it was a grizzly bear and a mountain lion and a coyote, I guess. And they were just animal figures. And I think they moved a little bit or their heads turned. And I remember circling that and like, I really want this. I don't want the cowboy figures. I don't want the gunfighters. I want the old Western animals that would threaten the guys. You know, like that way I could have the grizzly bear maul the, trapper and everything. And it was like... You know, I think there was a buffalo in the set too, and I wrote that down. And it's like, oh man, old Western animal set. I never got that either. I just remember, you know, and it's like I didn't even know how to look for that. You know, I tried looking for it once on eBay, but it was like, you know, it wasn't like, you know, Aurora monster scenes. Okay, that's pretty specific. It wasn't like Barbie, you know, or Boppa Bear or Fred Flintstone or something like that. It was just. Old Western animal set or animals of the Old West or something like that. And that was from like, I don't know, 68 or 69 or something like that. Way back a long time ago.
But you had a heartbreaking childhood?
No. I mean, I always got, you know, and that's not to say I didn't get anything those Christmases. Most of them.
And you got your Dino the Dinosaur, which was the one you really, really wanted.
Yeah. What about you guys that wanted and didn't get?
Well, I always remember like Christmas and wanting things and my parents... never really understanding me, so they didn't get me these things.
Or they'd get you like the wrong thing.
Yeah.
My mom got me a fake handmade Cabbage Patch Kid.
Oh.
Oh.
And I threw it on the table and said, "This isn't real." And I was so sad. And wow, it was almost as expensive as a regular one.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like, this woman painted on the eyes. She made them look like us. You know, like, I mean, she really did a good job, but they didn't have the plastic face. And the first thing I did was pull down her pants, which is a weird thing to teach kids to do.
Yeah.
Weird. To see if Xavier Roberts had written on her butt. Nothing. And I threw it on the table, and I was so ungrateful. I got a spanking that day, and well deserved.
Wow.
What was the other thing you were going to say?
What were you talking about? My parents never really got me the things I wanted. But one thing I can remember specifically is it was a Transformer, and it was one of the six of them that fit together and made the giant Transformer.
It wasn't
like
an
Opticon or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it turned, you know. It was,
wasn't
you know,
there another show set where they all did that?
Voltron.
Too? Voltron did that too, yeah.
But yeah, but that wasn't Voltron.
No, I was more of a Transformers fan than a Voltron fan.
Okay. So Voltron, which one was first?
Voltron.
Yeah.
It was a Japanese show.
It was a Japanese show, and I understand it was like they kept storylines going a lot better than most American cartoons at the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they're good at that. They stretch on for years with that stuff.
Yeah, Transformers Gome were important
and Inuyasha,
after that. Yeah.
Like forever. Yeah. Like forever with that.
Yeah.
I watched it every week in Inuyasha. Oh.
You're the one.
I liked
it. Am I the only one? Oh, no, I loved it.
I don't know.
I remember from a long time ago, like 40, I don't know if it was around 40, or like at least over 30 years ago, like Urusei Yatsura, which was a Japanese animated sitcom about aliens.
Oh.
It's sort of like, it's a little bit like I Dream of Jeannie, where this guy who's sort of like a teenage kind of womanizer, Earth is going to be destroyed by aliens, and he has to beat the alien champion in a physical, physical race, or like a marathon or something.
Oh.
And the girl is this tiger skin bikini clad vixen named Lum.
And
Adaru, who's basically a total asshole. And that's why I like Japanese comedy, is like there's nothing redeeming about Adaru. He is just an asshole. He's going to lose the contest.
I love that word. Asshole.
He's in terrible shape, and the Earth is going to lose the contest is going to be destroyed, and at the finish line Lum is easily going to win, and he grabs her by her horns because she has kind of like demon horns, and throws her down and starts swearing at her, and that's a sign of love on her people. So now they're engaged, and so he can't get away from her. But it's sort of like, what are you complaining about? She's the most beautiful girl in the galaxy, but he doesn't know any better because he's just an asshole.
You know what? Speaking of the Japanese,
we
went to lunch with Max Maven, who's a mentalist. You guys may or may not know. He's just amazing. He's a very dear friend of ours. And he told us where Gojira came from. Do you know?
No.
What the origin, the Japanese origin of Gojira is, or Godzilla.
I think I read that recently. I've been trying to relearn Japanese. So.
You will have much to talk about if you ever see him. He never came. He did not come in Halloween. Gorilla Whale.
It was the nickname of a guy who worked at the Toei Studios.
Yeah, it was a janitor at Toei Studios. They called him Gorilla Whale because he was just this like big lummox of a dude, and they called him Gojira. They combined the two names for gorilla and whale.
I always thought Godzilla was like God Lizard or something in Japanese.
Well,
no, it's Fat Janitor.
Yeah. Well, it was Gojira. That was kind of like the guy's nickname. And then the American distributor who bought the rights to it said, Gojira doesn't really mean anything. But if we made Godzilla, and then I think that is what they thought, like God Lizard, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, they put God in the front of it, you know? And then Max was saying, hey, of course, you know, Godzilla is supposed to be America. You know, it's not, everybody said, oh, it's the atomic bomb. It's like, it's really America and how it just steamrolled Japan. And I said, yeah, of course, we all know that. They know in Japan, too. They just don't say it.
So, Emily, did you, moving back to tweets, did you ever want anything and not get it?
I can't recall. I think I was either really easily entertained or really spoiled. Probably both.
Or really grateful for what you had.
Yeah, that too.
Which is a very nice way of looking at it. That's the way that I look back, and I think, you know, because my family never has had money, never, ever, never. And I remember one Christmas, my little friend Laura called me, and she was like, what did you get for Christmas? You're not going to believe what I got for Christmas. And I said, what did you get? She didn't talk like that. And I said, what did you get? And she said, my dad put 100 singles in my stocking, and he bought me a Macintosh computer.
Wow.
And I said, oh. And she said, what did you get? And I said, I got a pair of hobo gloves. because that's what I got. That was all they could do. And it was a pair of gloves. I had asked you, had said, you know, your parents didn't understand what you were looking for. Mm-hmm. What I wanted was, at that time, I think it was probably in the early 90s, they had gloves that were, we called them hobo gloves, and it was like fingerless gloves, but they came with gloves that would go underneath, and they were contrasting colors. If you saw them, you'd remember, like, you'd wear, you'd put on black gloves and then a red fingerless glove over it, and now you'd have those. And that's the colors I wanted. I wanted either black, I wanted black under gloves with blue knuckle guards, or black undergloves with red. And instead, my poor mother, all she could afford, because they were expensive, they were like 25 or 30 bucks a pair, which was a lot back then, and they were just stretchy, crappy gloves. I mean, there was like no reason for them to be that pricey. I'm making up that number. I don't know. Maybe they were 10. But she went to the store and found blue fingerless gloves attached to, it was the same glove, like it wasn't the two pieces, with every finger was a different neon color.
Uh-oh.
Which is okay,
yeah,
but not at all what I asked for, and that was all I got. Mm. You know, and that's okay. You know, like, I mean, we had a lovely Christmas, and Christmas was never about the presents, but it was, so I guess I did have something that I really wanted and didn't get, but I kind of got it, and so I remember, because Laura shared everything she got. She took, you know, like, we went out and had a fun time at the mall, and she bought me a pair of earrings, and I got to play Lemonade Stand on her computer whenever I wanted to. So I never lacked for anything because of the generosity of others, you know, and we had a lovely Christmas in my house that year. But going back to you, Emily, specifically, you're probably just grateful for what you had, and never really, either your parents made your dreams come true and you really were a spoiled turd, which is great, or, you know, the other spectrum is you can't remember things you didn't want because you stopped wanting them. There are things you didn't get because you stopped wanting them. So it could be either one of those two. Any other questions? That was a downer. Any other questions? Sorry, everybody. It's kind of asking to be a downer. What did you want and you just never got? Oh, world peace. Notice none of us said that.
Never happened, man.
Hobo gloves.
Yeah. Sounds so selfish. Colin Hammond says,
hi, Colin.
Jingle bells, Batman smells. Seems like a no-brainer.
That's not a question. Really a question in there, nope. Next.
Well, actually it has been coming up, like Batman has been bristling lately, like, I don't smell.
Yeah, someone posted that. I saw that the other day.
But figure out, he's wearing like 50 pounds of costume, not counting the cape.
Yes, he smells.
He smells to high heaven, probably. You know, unless Alfred talcum powders that suit down before he puts it on. And,
maybe he has stock in Febreze.
Oh, he might.
Let's see, what's the big deal about myrrh, says TSV, tattoos and bones.
That was a funny sketch in Santasia.
Yeah.
That was the funniest sketch.
That I was. Think, it was Santasia. Like, what'd you bring the kid? Oh, I brought him gold.
What'd you bring him?
Thought we had a price limit.
What'd you bring him? Myrrh? Oh, really?
What'd you bring him? Frankincense. Oh,
myrrh. Myrrh was the
myrrh was the bad gift. And it had been re-gifted.
Yeah. Shh, don't tell him everything. I already ruined enough of it.
Wait a minute. Okay, frankincense. Myrrh is the balm they put on bodies, isn't it? It's like an aromatic gum resin. And then, or is that frankincense? Frankincense.
No, frankincense is the incense. Myrrh is the balm.
The balm. And it's the balm, but it's not the balm. The balm is
not
the gold.
The balm.
Is there another question?
I have to say that one of the best of the old, there was a show that was ran for years ago that was written by a lot of the early Saturday Night Live writers named, called the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Oh, mm-hmm. I love that.
And for their Christmas special, once they did this thing where a very pissy Jesus is making out his thank you notes. It's like, dear King Balthazar, thank you for the lovely, what did he send? Frankincense. I'm sure it'll come in very handy. Dear King Caspar, what'd you, oh, it's myrrh. Thank you for the, Jesus. Okay. What Melchior said? Well, dear King Melchior, thank you for the lovely gold. I'm sure it'll come in very handy. It's so nice to see you over the holidays. We must get together after New Year.
Very cute.
Let's see. I think the last question we have on here right now is, by Ken Plume.
Yes.
Hey!
Kenneth Plume.
We haven't seen him in forever. I wish he would come back. I didn't even get to talk to him last time he was here. He's working.
His question is, Touchstone holiday specials and why?
Oh, specials.
That's a good question.
That's a good, what are our favorite?
Elf is for me. I love Elf. I love Miracle on 34th Street, the original. Uh-huh. I like the new one too, but I really like the original.
Those are movies. What about TV specials?
Well, they're on TV now.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, and the Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown?
Because my mom, it's specifically for my mother, because she always loves the O's their mouths make. Ooh, and when they breathe.
I love what happens when they breathe. Pigpen's dust settles a little more. You know, like, and the little cloud goes around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a trivia question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there are two little girls, unnamed little girls dancing in the special. They're wearing like purple.
And they're twins.
Yes, purple dresses and little white booties, and they're brunettes. And who are they? Do you know?
What are their names?
Sorry, I checked out for a second while I was reading Twitter.
Okay, all right. There are two little girls, and they're dancing like this, kind of side to side, in the special. They're twins. In a Charlie Brown Christmas.
It's the only time they're seen, too.
It's the only time they're ever seen in animation.
I don't remember.
You don't know their names?
You don't know who they are?
Go ahead.
Their names are 3 and 4, and their brother's name is 5, and he's the little kid in the orange T-shirt with the kind of spiky hair. Because what happened in 1965, Schultz did a brief run during the middle of the year. He introduced a kid. Muggsy just introduced something interesting. Hey, yeah, maybe the dogs would like some macaroni and cheese.
Some tear gas.
I think that's why Deuce is dying by the back door now, because he's ready to have his diarrhea fit.
He's cutting onions over there.
I'll let him out.
Thank you. Good boy, Muggs.
So
what happened was Schultz did this run in the strip where he introduced a kid named 5559 something something something, which was
the phone number.
No, it was 555 was, well, that's a classic fake phone number prefix in movies, but his surname was whatever Schultz's zip code was at the time, and five who looked like he was about Charlie Brown's age, said. His dad had gone crazy with all the emphasis on numbers, and that nobody in their family had a name anymore. So he just changed our names to numbers. So he said, my name is 5. I have two sisters named 3 and 4. And Charlie Brown says, those are nice feminine names. We think so. So as he was like popular in the strip at that point, well, not really popular. He was never really that popular a character. They kind of put them in the background. So there are these two odd little twins, and that's 5. That's 3, 4, and 5. So now you know the story of the girls doing the little rag doll side to side dance. And 5, I think, is doing like the little shoulder thing. It kind of goes like over one shoulder, like that, like that. In the comics, he had a little 5 drawn on him, but in animation, they tend to take off.
Yeah,
like T-shirts with words and things like that. Like, I think Linus had a striped shirt, but even stripes, they kind of, and Charlie Brown had that squiggle, but anytime you can drop off, you know, stuff like that. I think people would have just been confused if why is there a boy with a 5 on his T-shirt? And I think by that point, Schultz realized he wasn't going to have that much fun with this character, so 5 was kind of relegated to being like in the outfield in Charlie Brown's baseball team and occasional walk-ons, and that was it. I mean, you know, Pigpen barely showed up after the 70s. It's like, you know, you can just hear Schultz going like, I can't have much fun with a dirty kid. Let me draw another 10 strips with Woodstock in it. Yeah, he's flying upside down. That's really cute. He flies in, hey, let's have Snoopy eat some cookies. Ah, that's really good. Schultz kind of lost it after. There came this point where Schultz's first marriage broke up, and from what I understand, his first wife was a bit of a handful.
Oh, yeah.
Did not make life a lot of fun for him. So that's when all the really great stuff in the strip was about, you know, Lucy being merciless to Charlie Brown and the football and everything like that, and yanking the football away, and Charlie Brown really kind of being the goat and the underdog and put upon. And then Schultz, after the divorce, he married a very nice lady and who was into tennis and, you know, flying private planes and everything. And suddenly the strip just was Snoopy eating cookies and Woodstock. I'll give Linus a baby brother named Rerun and stick him on the back of the bike. That's good for about 7 years. And then, you know, all the good stuff vanished. Yeah. No more Great Pumpkin. No more baseball. Just Snoopy and Woodstock.
Well, that's what everybody loved.
That's what he gave them.
Spoon fed. Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
That's what he gave them. I mean, you know, you can't put Charlie Brown's childhood angst and grief and Lucy's frustration on Schroeder on a greeting card and you know, Linus quoting scripture. You know, it's people get uncomfortable with that. So Woodstock, you know, and Snoopy dancing is...
That's cute.
There's several animated Christmas specials that I saw growing up as a kid that I have not seen hide nor hair of since.
What?
Examples.
For instance, the Claymation Christmas special with the California Raisins.
Oh, a we great have one. That on DVD somewhere.
Yeah, I have it on VHS.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we have.
That is, it's great. And it's on. It's online, too. You can see it online.
That's a wonderful one. There was one that I can't find even proof of anymore. It's the Wacky Wall Walkers Christmas special.
Mark Evanier wrote that.
Sweet Jesus, are you kidding me?
He wrote that.
Sweet baby Jesus.
That is one of my favorite sweet mango specials. Chutney.
Yes, he wrote that.
I need to ask if he can, if he has a copy.
He has a copy of it. Mark Evanier wrote that. Yeah.
I can't find that anywhere, and I want to see it again so bad.
He wrote that. He also wrote Yogi Bear's Christmas special.
That was a good one too.
That was a good one. I just got that on DVD last Christmas. I haven't even watched it. I watched about 5 minutes of it. Oh, so we'll be punching that up later. I like that because you know, he really had a nice flair for writing Yogi Bear, and I think that was like the last hurrah of Dawes doing all those characters.
Oh yeah!
Wow.
He told a story once about he had to write it like yesterday. You know, like they greenlit it in like September of that year they were supposed to air it. And a lot of people, you know, were working on it, you know, had you know, to really kind of give it that old flair. And the script is really good, the voices are really good, but the animation on some of that, man, it was like,
and they're just moving paper dolls around.
Oh, it's unfortunate because, you know, a lot of people have said like, old Hanna-Barbera wasn't all that good. It's like, no, you look at the first 5 years of Hanna-Barbera from Rough and Ready to about Secret Squirrel. There was like really some, I draw the line. McGilla Gorilla, I guess. Even then it was like, the writing had gotten really horrifically bad, but the animation and the design was really good right up until about the Jetsons. The Jetsons, I think, was the last hurrah, but all that early stuff was so great. And I would have loved it if they had been able to recapture that for the special to match the voice work and the script and everything else. But at that point, there no, you know, music was bad, the animation not so good. So, you know, people tried hard because they tried reviving it. But, you know, that was a good one. So Wacky Wall Walkers, huh?
Yeah. And the other one that may be just one that I like, and I think a DVD set was out at one point, but it's not for sale anymore. And that's the Raccoons cartoon.
Oh, the Raccoons from Canada.
Yeah, they ran exactly. Up
there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, they had the bad guys that were like some sort of weird pink anteaters.
Yeah, something. They were like pink pigs or anteaters or something that like were that. Aardvarks, really into
pollution and stuff.
Yeah.
But I remember that special being really good.
Nelvana did a couple of really good specials. Like they did an Outer Space Christmas special that was kind of good. And The Devil and Daniel Mouse was more of a Halloween special. But Nelvana, when they were starting off, they were really, they did some great stuff. I think their best thing, they did a Easter special, which was really freaking good.
I remember seeing a Paws Easter special a long time ago, which was the characters from that egg coloring set.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The one they did on the Easter one they did was called Easter Fever, and it had come out around the time of Saturday Night Fever, so I guess that's why they called it that. But Garrett Morris does the voice of a very hip Easter Bunny. He's like the Trix Rabbit with a lot of soul to him, and it's like a roast for the Easter Bunny who's thinking about retiring, and you know it had a lot of holiday icons in it. But I just remember it was really funny, and the animation was pretty sharp. But the Claymation Christmas is my dad's favorite because he loves the Carol of the Bells, where all the bells are hitting themselves on the head. Remember that part?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I was a choir chimer in junior high school.
You were?
Mm-hmm. You guys do the bells or choir chimes?
No.
Nobody?
No one? I was in actual choir, so.
Yeah. I was too.
Well, I didn't do any bells in that.
Can you imagine? Oh, no, they don't let me sing. I just ring the bell.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That would be horrible.
We had to sing in high school because we had to
do... You have a beautiful voice.
Thank you. We had to do Christmas programs in the church in high school, so for our, at the chapel at my high school. So we had to sing every year.
Looks like a few more questions have come in.
Sure.
Let's see. Why does Andy... Oh, this by A.W. Quinn. at IQ.
Okay.
Why does Andy Williams mention ghost stories in its most wonderful time of year?
Oh, that's easy. He must be talking about Scrooge. I mean, there'll be something for toasting, marshmallows for roasting. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. Scary ghost stories. I think what he's referring to is Christmas Carol, you know, without saying it directly, because it is a scary ghost story. It's about, you know, three ghosts who haunt Scrooge and everything. Mm-hmm. And I used to wonder about that too. It's like, wouldn't you be telling scary ghost stories around Halloween? And you know, there's no point to telling that around, you know, Christmas. But then I thought about it and I go, what's a scary Christmas ghost? Oh, Christmas Carol. So I think that's what it's in reference to. I can't be sure. I don't have any credible, you know, research on the subject, but just that's what I think it is.
All right.
On the same vein as the Christmas specials, what is the best Looney Tunes or Disney shorts or specials that you recommend?
Like Christmas stuff?
Yeah, like your favorites of all those.
Well, I'd say, oh, let's back it up a little bit. All right, let's be real holiday specific. I think for Halloween, mm-hmm. Donald Duck Trick or Treat.
Yeah.
That's a great one. Yeah. That's a great one.
Love it.
Thanksgiving, Tom, Turk, and Daffy, which is a Chuck Jones one, where Porky is a pilgrim trying to catch a turkey and Daffy betrays the turkey. In the same vein is Holiday for Drumsticks, which is Daffy... stealing the food from a turkey because he's kind of training him to lose weight.
Yeah.
And then some hillbillies go after him because it turns out, hey, you can eat duck on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Christmas. There were a lot of Disney used Christmas as a backdrop for a lot of short cartoons. I think the best one is probably Mickey's Good Deed. It's a black and white one, and it is just bitter. It is really
sad.
It's sad, but I love it. And I'll probably cry through this. So everybody who tunes in to listen to me cry, here we go. It's a one. It's like from 1932 or 33. Mickey is out and is playing a cello in the snow, and Pluto's howling, and he's, you know, trying to raise a little money so he can go in and eat some dinner at a cafe. And his shorts are all ragged, and he's out there playing "Come All Ye Faithful," and people drop things in his cup, and he's going like, "Merry Christmas." And it's like, and somebody drops a lot of stuff. "Oh, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Hey, Pluto, we eat." And he shakes it out, and they're nothing but screws and washers. Oh. And nobody gave him anything except garbage. And he's just miserable, you know? And Pluto's like looking at the food in the window, and he wants to go in and eat, and they go off, and they're playing in front of a rich man's house. And inside, there's this grotesque pig kid and his, you know, capitalistic, you know, robber baron pig father, you know, and they have all this money, and the kid is just breaking toys one after another and howling because nothing makes him happy. He looks out the window and he goes, "Doggy, doggy," and he wants Pluto as a pet. And so the butler goes out and says, "Well, I'll buy your dog, my good man." And Mickey goes, "No, you can't have him. He's my pal." And he runs away with Pluto. And as they're trying to get away, Mickey's bass fiddle goes right into the street, and it's run over by a sleigh full of revelers, and go, "Merry Christmas." And I'm going like, boy, Walt is really pulling out the stops here. This is really heartbreaking. So he's got no source of income. He's starving. He's in the snow. And then he finds somebody worse off than he is. There's a family of cats. I guess this is like Pegleg Pete's unknown family, because we see this cat woman inside sobbing, and there's like about a zillion babies in bed. And then we see a picture of what looks like Pegleg Pete on the wall in jail, and they have nothing. And Mickey is sad. And then he takes Pluto back and sells him to the rich family so he can get some money. And then he buys stuff for the cat family. You know, he doesn't use the money for himself. He gives it to somebody else to make a Merry Christmas. And inside, Pluto's just getting the living shit beaten out of him by this pig kid who's like beating him and abusing him. And just, it's horrible. It's horrible. And I'm going like, oh, this is the saddest cartoon ever made. And then finally what happens is Pluto, he's got some food tied to his tail. He escapes and he gets out. They throw him out. And then Mickey's in the snow and he's got like one tiny little hot dog. And he's made a little, it's so heartbreaking. He's made a little snowman, a snow dog of Pluto. And, you know, he's sad. He misses his pal. Then Pluto, plop, pops up in the middle of the snowman, and he's got a big turkey tied to his tail, and they eat the turkey, and it's happy. So it's like, it's great. It's, I look at that and I'm going, like, this can't be any more miserable than anything. It's just so miserable. Wow. But it's nice, and he does a good deed in that. And you know, they made plenty of other things like Chip and Dale, you know, messing around with Christmas toys and
Like Chip and Dale found a Christmas tree or something.
They did that a couple of times, and they did a couple of other, you know, kind of Christmassy type shorts and things. And they did a one thing called a Small One, which was based on a story about a donkey that was actually a featurette, that a 30-minute feature about the donkey that brings Mary to Bethlehem.
And, Nestor's Along Your Donkey kind of story.
Yeah, it was like that. But
Nestor was done by the Rudolph people.
Small One was a story, I just read the name of the author today, and I forgot who it was, but he had written a bunch of other kind of like Christmas misfit type stories, like The Littlest Snowman and a few other things. And so Small One was this old donkey that nobody wanted, and a kid has to go sell him to the dad says, take him and sell him to the Skinner. You know, we need to make a couple of pieces of silver. He can't work anymore. Sad.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's great.
No.
Do you remember the
And then he sells them to Jesus, to Mary and Joseph. And
there's the Betty Boop cartoon.
That's beautiful.
The grandpa that comes to the orphanage and builds all the kids' toys, right?
Yeah.
Comes up once a year.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Grampy. And yeah, Betty Boop's Grampy, yeah.
That just came to mind. That was a great cartoon.
That's a great one, except, you know, kids, you know, he's like, Grampy must have been drinking early that day because he's going like, ha, broken umbrella. That'll make a nice present for a kid.
Fixes them all.
Half a wheel. That'll make a nice present.
Yeah, this weird genius inventor with a thinking hat that lights up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was a good one. There was one. There was a New Year's cartoon, a Popeye New Year's cartoon that I really liked a lot from that same era where I'm blanking on the title, but it's Popeye and Bluto, a rare time where they're friends. They go out and they're both taking Olive out to the same dance. And rather than leave Olive's old granny at home, Popeye says, "You'll be my date, grandma. So he takes her grandma out, and it's fun. It's like a big New Year's Eve dance. Wimpy is dressed up like Santa Claus, and Popeye feeds grandma a bunch of spinach, and they win the dance contest.
That's cute.
That's a really good one. I love that one. That's a lot of fun. So, there's a ton of really good Christmas cartoons out there. But those are some of my favorites.
They're good ones.
So, yeah.
Emily, do you have favorites?
Sorry, I just got lost. Apparently it's snowing in Santa Clarita.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's go up and play in the snow.
Last year, too. Remember?
I don't know. So that's sort of, I'm trying to think if there's anybody else, like Looney Tune Christmas ones. There was that one with Sylvester and Tweety, and then they did a couple of TV ones that were, they did one with the Tasmanian Devil in it, which was okay, but it wasn't great because again, it was sort of late 70s.
Yeah.
Bad animation. I don't know. Tomorrow's Fat Man and Batman. I'm talking about all the DC ones that we did, like Christmas with the Joker and stuff.
So maybe we can tune into that to find those out.
Yeah. Do we have any more?
Just one last one. Bring us back all around to Christmas specials.
Nice.
When will the Krampus get its own Christmas special?
As soon as we can.
Actually, I heard that they had done a Krampus episode of American Dad. Like Krampus was Krampus was supposed to show up in this week's American Dad episode, but they postponed it because Krampus is known for punishing children, and they felt that was not a good thing to run this weekend.
Oh yeah, that's probably not.
Yeah. Krampus, I got some more plans for Krampus that'll probably come up next year. I didn't do a Jingle Bell book this year, but I have something kind of big planned for next year. So. Nice. Probably not a special, and that's a few years down the road, but some more Jingle Adventures will probably be out next year. It's interesting. With every year, people do more stuff with her, like the Jingle Bell display at our friend's house, and people miss her. So people say, they start asking around October, what's Jingle Bell doing this year? And if the book, here I have a book coming out, they go, great. there are always one or two Grinches who go like, oh, not Jingle Bell again. We write more Batman. And probably next year.
I never noticed until just now that Krampus has a basket of babies.
On his back.
On the back of your
On the back
fez.
Of my fez, yeah. Yeah.
What?
He's got
a fez around and show
I
them.
I did not know that.
He's
either.
Got a basket. Yeah, of course.
Oh my goodness, that is awesome. He's got a gingers too. It's wonderful.
He's got a carry out order.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good old Krampus.
They're going to get spanking.
Oh, they're going to get. Yes,
and
yes.
Krampus doesn't come unless you earn him.
I know. We got to set out some food for him.
Yeah.
He came
last year.
We gave him devil's food cake, and he drank that entire bottle of Kraken rum.
Yes, he did.
And Krampus is a mean drunk.
Yeah, well, he left after a year, so that was fine.
Yeah, that's fine. But
he's perfectly nice to me.
Yep. Oh, he singled me out for treatment.
Well, he loves you. With a switch.
With a switch, yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, are we done?
I think that's about
boring.
It. So what? No, it wasn't boring. Well, maybe Ezra can put some Christmas music in the background.
Oh, like over our talking.
I was fascinated to find out Mark Evans wrote my favorite special.
There you go.
All right. So you're like, I met that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I know there's one other Christmas cartoon out there that I'm just not mentioning. It's out there and that I just really love, and I can't really remember what it is, and so it's we'll just hang on to it for next year, I suppose.
Yeah.
What?
Well, we'll talk about it next year. You know what? I could probably put together a jukebox in the next day or two. I was actually thinking of one for the week after Christmas and doing a winter jukebox and doing songs, like a lot of holiday songs, but songs that don't specifically mention Christmas, like The Winter Weather, Marshmallow World,
outside.
Baby It's Cold Outside.
Nice. I like that.
Don't tell them all. Let them listen. Yeah. So if we're not going to do a jukebox for this Christmas, because we're going to deliberately withhold because you got this special coming.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, we got the special.
So please go back. How many jukeboxes do we have up? Three? Two?
Two, yeah.
Yeah. So can we put links to those
of
underneath
course,
this
yeah.
so they have some holiday music to listen to?
Mm-hmm.
You have to listen to the Screaming Girls. I'm just sad and not listening to them because my Christmas chick is missing. But...
Well,
listen to the jukeboxes and enjoy them, please. And we will be back with a wintry jukebox next time.
And if I can pull it all together, check the site around Christmas Eve. There might be a big surprise there. I'm working on something. This is it'll take the place of the Christmas jukebox this year. But look for more announcements on that. Check back on Christmas Eve. There's going to be something special on it.
Nice.
All right, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays. And happy birthday, baby Jesus.
And happy tank day to nobody.
This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes Store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/RadioRashi, or follow us on Twitter at Radio Rashi or at Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.